is 14. Namo namaste stu vrishabhaya satvatam. Vidura kashtaya muhukku yoginam. Nirasta samyas tishaye naradhasa. Swadhamani brahmani ramsate nama. Namo namaste stu vrishabhaya satvatam. Vidura kashtaya muhukku yoginam. Nirasta samyatishaye naradhasa. Swadhamani brahmani ramsate namaha. Namo namaste stu vrishabhaya satvatam. Vidura kashtaya muhukku yoginam. Nirasta samyatishaye naradhasa. Swadhamani brahmani ramsate namaha. Matajis. Let me offer my obeisances unto you. Astu Vrishabhaya, unto the great associate Satvatam, of the members of the Yadu dynasty. Vidura Kashtaya, one who is far from mundane wranglers. Muhu, always. Kuyoginam, of the non-devotees. Nirasta, vanquish. Samya, equal status. Atishayena, by greatness. Radhasa, by opulence. Swadhamani, in his own abode. Brahmani, in the spiritual sky. Ramsyate, enjoys. Namaha, I do bow down. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto He who is the associate of the members of the Yadu dynasty and who is always a problem for the non-devotees. He is the supreme enjoyer of both the material and spiritual worlds. yet he enjoys his own abode in the spiritual sky. There is no one equal to him because his transcendental opulence is immeasurable. Purport. There are two sides of the transcendental manifestations of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. For the pure devotees, he is the constant companion, as in the case of his becoming one of the family members of the Yadu dynasty, or he is becoming the friend of Arjuna, or he is becoming the associate neighbor of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, as the son of Nanda Yashoda, the friend of Sudama, Sridama and Madhumangal, or the lover of the damsels of Prajabhumi, etc. That is part of his personal features. And by his impersonal feature, he expands the rays of the Brahmajyoti, which is limitless and all-pervasive. Part of this all-pervasive Brahmajyoti, which is compared to the sun rays, is covered by the darkness of the Mahatattva. And his insignificant part is known as the material world. In this material world, there are innumerable universes like the one we can experience, and in each of them there are hundreds of thousands of planets like the one we are inhabiting. The mundanars are more or less captivated by the unlimited expansion of the rays of the Lord, but the devotees are concerned more with his personal form, from which everything is emanating, janmadyasyatha. As the sun rays are concentrated in the sun disk, the Brahmajyoti is concentrated in Golok Vrindavan, the topmost spiritual planet in the spiritual sky. The immeasurable spiritual sky is full of spiritual planets, named Vaikunthas, far beyond the material sky. The mundanars have insufficient information of even the mundane sky, so what can they think of the spiritual sky? Therefore, the mundanars are always far, far away from him. Even if in the future they are able to manufacture some machine whose speed may be accelerated to the velocity of the wind or mind, the mundanars will still be unable to imagine reaching the planets in the spiritual sky. So the Lord and his residential abode will always remain a myth or a mysterious problem. But for the devotees, the Lord will always be available as an associate. In the spiritual sky, his opulence is immeasurable. The Lord resides in all the spiritual planets, the innumerable Vaikuntha planets. By expanding his plenary portions along with his liberated devotee associates. But the impersonalists who want to merge in the existence of the Lord are allowed to merge as one of the spiritual spars of the Brahmajyoti. They have no qualifications for becoming associates of the Lord, either in the Vaikuntha planets or in the supreme planet, Goloka Vrindavan, described in the Bhagavad Gita as Madhyam, and here in this verse as the Swadham of the Lord. This Madhyam or Swadham is described in the Bhagavad Gita 15.6 as follows. Na tadbhasayate suryo, na shashanko na pavaka, yadgatvana nirvatante, tadhama paramam mama. The Lord's Swadham does not require any sunlight or moonlight or electricity for illumination. that dham or place is supreme, and whoever goes there never comes back to this material world. The Vaikuntha planets and the Golok Vrindavana planets are all self-illuminating, and the rays scattered by those Swadham or the Lord constitute the existence of the Brahmajyoti. As per confirmed in the Vedas like the Mundak and Katha and Shvetashvatara Upanishad, na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam naima vidyuto bhanti kuyom agni kutoyam agni tam eva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. In the Swadham of the Lord, there is no need of sun, moon or stars for illumination, nor is there need of electricity. So what to speak of ignited lamps? On the other hand, it is because those planets are self-illuminating that all effulgence has become possible. And whatever there is that is dazzling is due to the reflection of that Swadham. One who is dazzled by the effulgence of the impersonal Brahmajyoti cannot know the personal transcendence. Therefore, in the Ishopanishad 15, it is prayed that the Lord shift His dazzling effulgence so that the devotee can see the real reality. It is spoken thus: Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tattvam pushanna apavranu satya dharma yadrishtaye. O Lord, You are the maintainer of everything, both material and spiritual, and everything flourishes by Your mercy. Your devotional service or bhakti yoga is the actual principle of religion, satya dharma, and I am engaged in that service. So kindly protect me by showing Your real face. Please therefore remove the veil of Your Brahmajyoti rays so that I can see Your form of eternal bliss and knowledge. Hare Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobheshtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Dehi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Kaurabhakta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, welcome everyone. for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Quite surprising, many devotees have come. Because of Yatra, I thought that there will be very less devotees. And also today is a very special day. All country will be glued to television set to understand, to eagerly wait who will take that cup, trophy. So we are maybe interested in winning some country or that country, and we may be so much excited about sports. This sports may keep changing. Today some country will win, next time some other country will win. That will keep changing. It is for some time. For a few moments we will get some pleasure. And again afterwards there will be another excitement. So there is no end in this material world for the material pleasures, which are temporary, which are not permanent. It will give happiness for some time, and again there will be different emotions. Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are seeing the eternal sports of Lord Krishna. They are not for a few minutes or at that particular time. Krishna's sports are always going on, eternally, nityali. And they always give us a lot of pleasure, permanent happiness. And they help us to liberate us from the cycle of birth and death. That is the power of Krishna's sports. And we must understand that these are not ordinary activities what Krishna had performed 5000 years before, and he has been performing always in some universe. These pastimes are always going on. And what to speak of the spiritual planets, which are eternal planets, which are beyond this material manifestation. They are always going on there. So somehow or other, by Lord's mercy, we have received this great fortune to hear and to understand. When Lord Krishna is very merciful, he either comes himself to give the message, or sometimes he sends his bona fide representatives who can give the glimpse of what is happening in the spiritual world, in his own world. And why he does so? Because we, all living entities, were originally from that world. We must know that the living entities were from that spiritual world. And somehow other we have come in this material. And we have forgotten our real identity. Our identity we have forgotten. And we are taking up various types of material identities, material designations. I am from this country, I am from that country, that is material identity. I am Hindu, Muslim, Christian, various religion, that is another identity. I am a student, or I am a professional, I am an artist, I am so and so, I am a male, I am a female. So many varieties of identities we are taking. And especially the human form of life is very, very important. After going through many, many species, almost 84 lakhs of species, then one gets the human form of life. So you can imagine how much rare this human form of life is. And after getting human form of life also, if one is fortunate enough or one is very pious, then he will be little bit interested. And in that also, if somebody has some inquiry about the higher truths, then he will have a glimpse of, yes, there is something called a spirituality or transcendence. And we are not just this mortal bodies, but we are higher than that. And our purpose of life is not just be doing good activities, pious activities, going to heavenly planets and again coming back. But to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death eternally. One gets the knowledge of that. And that is possible when one comes in contact with Krishna's pure devotees. And especially when somebody reads books, especially this Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada has given. Because in this book, knowledge is given. Srila Radha Gopinath. The knowledge is given. Who we are. What is the purpose of life. How to become free from the cycle of birth and death. And where to go back. Going back home, back to Godhead, we say. That is not a small thing. Going back again to Krishna's abode in the spiritual world. So for that one has to be very much qualified and one should prepare. And therefore our acharyas, especially Srila Rupa Goswami, he has given the process of sadhana bhakti. Means a regulated process, like a study. When we go to college or schools, where teacher teaches something and then asks to study also. Give some swadhyaya or some exercises by which one can become more deeply learned in that subject. And by practice, theory and practice, one becomes perfect. So similarly, Bhagavad Gita, understanding Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is a knowledge, theoretical knowledge. Of course, that is also very much purifying if somebody simply hears. Because Shravanam, hearing is very, very powerful, which can clean up so many abhadras in our, so many unwanted things within the hearts are clean just by attentive hearing. Because hearing the transcendental subjects, one can actually be present to those stories or pastimes. It has that power if somebody is very attentively hearing. So Lord Krishna comes and enacts this pastime. He performs his wonderful pastimes, as we can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, they are discussing. Parikshit Maharaj, as you know, was a great king. He was a grandson of Pandavas. And somehow that he was cursed to die within 7 days. He was told that he will die because of a snake bite. And that snake will come, snake bird will come and bite him, and he will die. He was a king. He could have stopped that. He could have put so many armies and people around him so that any snake comes, they would immediately kill him. But he did not do that. He accepted. He thought that whatever he has committed, a mistake, it was a very small mistake he had committed. And because of that he received this curse. So he welcomed that curse. He said, okay, no problem. Krishna has come in the form of this curse. I am ready to accept. He was quite young that time. It was not that he was very old and invalid and he could not do anything. He was very young. He was very powerful. You can imagine the king. He was going everywhere. He was not allowing Kali to enter into his kingdom. There was no Kali Yuga that time because of the power of this king. And now what is happening? Kali Yuga is spreading everywhere. Gali gali mein Kali. Gali gali mein cricket also. But gali gali mein Kali has spread. Her family mein Kali. Every family there is Kali. There are fights going on. No two people can go along with each other. Her raste mein Kali. Raste pe Kali Yuga has come on the road. There are fights. More fighting and people are killing each other. Her rishte mein Kali. Every relationship there is a Kali Yuga. There is cheating, there is fighting, quarreling. So we can imagine how much Kali Yuga has spread. And this is quite disturbing in one sense. Because Kali Yuga is like an ocean of thoughts. It's a big ocean. Everywhere Kali Yuga has spread. So what is the hope? Here Parikshit Maharaj, he was inquiring Sukadeva Goswami that how the people of Kali Yuga will be saved. Because that was the main inquiry of all the sages. They knew that this kind of Kali Yuga is going to come. and people will not have any interest in understanding God, which is the means of deliverance, which will help us to get delivered from this cycle of birth and death. If somebody hears the glories of the Supreme Lord, then one will become free from the influence of Kali. And one doesn't have to come back again in this material world. So therefore, these sages were discussing and they were going deep into the subject. They were trying to understand how the Supreme Lord, He performs His various activities. What are His Purusha Avataras? What are His Leela Avataras? Why Lord Krishna took birth as son of Devaki? Where is the principles of religions have gone after Lord Krishna's disappearance? So Shaunakamani, who is the spokesperson, he replies that he was inquiring on behalf of all the sages. And Suta Goswami replies that in Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord has appeared as Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishne Swadhama Pogate Dharma Jnana Adibhisa Kalo Nashta Drusha Meshva Puranarko Adhanitas. That in this Kali Yuga, Kalo Nashta Drusha Meshva, our eyes are blinded because of the darkness of Kali. Kali Yuga is so spreading its darkness that our eyes are blinded. We cannot see what is proper, what is improper, what will help us to become liberated from the cycle of birth and what is binding in this material world. We are not able to see that. And people have lost in this material world, especially in this Kali Yuga. They don't know what is the goal of life. What will happen after death. They don't know. When the death will come. We don't know. Few years before, when this pandemic was going on, everything was closed and everyone was so much scared. Right? Because death was around the corner. People, we were hearing somebody, a neighborhood, somebody has died because of this corona. And we were also thinking that it could be, next one could be us. We could be the next one. It was so stressful for everyone. Some other Krishna has protected us. Right? Srila Prabhupada explains that the pandemic of this material world is always going on. It was not that people are not dying. People are continuously dying. Birth, death, old age and disease. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. These four problems are coming to everyone, sooner or later. So the pandemic of this material world is always going on. And Srila Prabhupada has given us that reality or that understanding that we should be preparing for it. It's not that because we are saved from that pandemic, now nothing will happen to us. Again, after some time, there will be some other calamity, some other anxiety. And finally, we have to leave this material world. So we have received this human form of life. Now we have to utilize it for the best purpose, to understand what is the purpose of life. What should I do to become free from the cycle of birth and death permanently? Not to come back again in this material world. And therefore, Lord has come. He has given the process, especially in Kali Yuga, the process of chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is a process, especially in Kali Yuga. And anybody who chants this holy name will feel the difference. Yes, it is helping me. My mind is becoming a little better, peaceful. I'm able to focus properly. And so many benefits one will see. And the highest benefit is achieving the love of God. That is the highest thing one can achieve. And we can see that Lord Krishna had come almost 5,000 years before, and he performed various activities, various transcendental activities. These are not material activities. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame devyam evam yo vekti tatvata Chaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti swarja. Bhagavad Gita was given when there was urgency. There was a very less time. Arjuna did not have much time. So Krishna very concisely explained everything, the entire Vedic knowledge. Very in a short nutshell, concisely explained. And he explains that his birth and activities are devyam. They are transcendental. They are not ordinary. They should not be seen as material activities. And anybody who understands this, his Krishna's birth and activities, what happens to that person? That person, tyaktva deham punarja naiti. After he gives up this material body, he will not take birth again in this material. That is a great benediction Lord Krishna has given. And mameti swarja, and he comes back to me. We were with Krishna, but some other we are fallen in this material world. But after practicing, after hearing about Krishna, one can again go back to Krishna. That is Krishna's promise. Where there is no birth, death, old age or disease, one will go to Krishna's abode, which is self-illuminating. Here it is explained that Krishna's Swadham or Madham. Na tadbhasyate suryo, na shashanko na pavaka. Yad gatva na nirvatante tadhama paramam mama. Lord Krishna has given glimpse of his world. That world, Krishna's world, is not illuminated by sun, moon or electricity. This material world requires sun to rise to give the light, or in the night moon, or electricity. We need light to see, otherwise we can't see. If there is no light, we can't see. But the spiritual world is self-illuminated. There is no need of any sun or moon or electricity. Everything is self-effulgent. The light is emanating from Krishna's body. In fact, all living entities there, they have effulgent bodies. So therefore there is no need of any light. And the planet itself are self-illuminating. It is not that they are dark planets. The planets themselves are emitting so much light. So when Lord Krishna came 5,000 years before, why he came actually? Because there were many demonic people, especially Kansa. Kansa had become very demonic. He had kind of increased his power through his so many other demons. Putana, Bakasur, Aghasur, Vatsasur. They were all Kansa's special friends. He had made a kind of collaboration with them, and they were ready to do anything for Kansa. And Kansa thought that he would be not defeated by anybody. Nobody can defeat him. I have become so powerful. I have so much power, strength. Nobody is equal to me or nobody is greater than me. He thought like that. And he was creating disturbance. Where he was creating disturbance? Mathura. Krishna's birthplace. Vrindavan. Krishna's pastime place. He was spreading his people and unnecessarily troubling them, killing them, torturing them. So, just to show his strength that I am so powerful, I can do anything. And it is explained that because of his atrocities, Earth was suffering. Mother Earth is also a personality. So she was suffering because of so much sins created by this demonic people, Jarasandha. So she was suffering and she prayed to Brahma. She took the form of a cow, went to him and prayed to him that, please help me, because so many demonic people are going around everywhere on the earth and they are troubling everyone, good people. So Brahma, he heard Bhumi Devi's prayers and he decided to go to Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is lying in the Shirsagar, this metal world. There are many planets, many planets are there in this metal world. It is not that only in or on the earth there are human beings are residing, there is a life. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that there is life everywhere. Only thing is that we cannot see. Material scientists cannot see that. We may send so many spacecrafts in other planets and try to conquer that planet. But what we do? We bring some dust or stone from there. We don't bring jewels and nice heavenly trees. Because when we are not allowed to enter and we are entering, then we are punishable by the laws of material world. Trespassers are not allowed. Right? So we cannot trespass into other planets. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Bhagavad Gita explains that there is a life on other planets. There are other higher beings. It is not that they don't have much power or intelligence. They are not advanced. They are more advanced. They can travel from one planet to another. So these various demigods and Brahmaji, they had power to go to the place where Lord Vishnu was residing. There is a place, even in this universe, there is that Lord Vishnu is residing in the Shirsagar. There is a Shvetadip where Shirudakshai Vishnu is residing. Shirsagar is milk ocean. We have an ocean which is very salty and we cannot drink that water also. But there is a milk ocean, it is explained in this universe. So all the demigods, they reached to the shores of that milk ocean. They were standing on the shore and they started offering prayers to Vishnu. Purusha Shukta prayers, it is explained that demigods offer prayers to Lord Vishnu. These prayers are called as Purusha Shukta prayers. So they offered these prayers requesting Lord to appear in this material world and to help everyone. So for quite some time there was no response. Brahmaji was praying, he sat in meditation, but Brahmaji is first born living entity in this material world. He is the first person to take birth in this material world. So he was meditating and he had a power to directly communicate with God, Vishnu. He has been given that kind of special privilege that he can directly communicate with God through the process of chanting mantras and meditation. So he was doing that. We can also communicate, but we cannot reach to that level. Sometimes Krishna will answer our prayers, but we are not able to receive that. He is answering, but we are not receiving properly. But if we become attentive, then we will be able to hear Krishna's message, especially through Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, or through the mouths of your devotees, will hear that yes, Krishna wants us to do these things. So Brahmaji, he was praying, and he prayed and finally heard the message. Lord replied, he communicated that he will take birth in the Yadu dynasty as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And all the demigods, so many demigods had also come there. They should take birth in the various dynasties. Yadu dynasty, Yandaka dynasty and Vrishni dynasty. Various dynasties, they should also take birth to assist in his pastimes, in his activities. And Krishna was going to bring his own associates also from the spiritual world. He has his own special confidential associates in Golok Vrindavan. They were also going to come. And all the other demigods also, they were going to come. So he told them. And then they were very happy. They returned back. And then later we know that how Lord Krishna, he took birth from Vasudeva and Devaki. Of course, before that we know that what happened. Kansa, he was getting married to Devaki. And as a, And as their marriage party was going on, Kansa was driving the chariot. Kansa was driving the chariot of Devaki, his sister, Vasudeva and Devaki. They were sitting on the chariot and they were going. And there was Akashvani, or a voice from the sky. That time demigods could speak and that could be heard. And the voice came, that of Kamsa, you are a fool. You are a very foolish person. Because the eighth son of your sister Devaki will be the cause of your death. You will die because of the eighth son of your sister Devaki. Now we can understand what kind of transformation happened in the heart of Kansa. He heard his prophecy, death. That was a reality. Death is going to come to everyone. But he heard it in such a way that he was very disturbed. He was shocked that I am going to die. I am such a powerful person. Nobody can kill me. He had so much kind of that power to stop his death. He wanted to avoid death. In fact, he became extremely fearful. He was so much afraid that this Krishna, eighth child of Devaki, is going to come. So he thought that let us kill Devaki, his own sister. Because if she dies, then she will not give birth to any children. So I will not die. So he was thinking that Devaki is the cause of my death. And because of her, I am going to die. So let us kill her first. And the fear, person is overcome by the fear. He starts seeing that fear everywhere. He is fearful of something, then he sees that fear in any place, or from any person, or from any country, or any team, from anywhere. That kind of fear may manifest, that this person or this country or that party, they are the cause of my fear. And Kansa was exactly doing like that. He thought that Devaki is the cause of my death and I should kill her first. It was a big calamity. Devaki was a very innocent daughter of Devak. And as every girl has dreams that she should get married, her marriage also should be celebrated very nicely, and so many people should give blessings. So Devaki was also like, and Devak, King Devak, had given so much dowry in that marriage so that she remains happy. It's a very kind of different thoughts in the mind of somebody who is getting married, especially the girls. They have to leave one home. There is a kind of separation, feeling of sorrow, and another new home is, they are entering, new responsibility, new hopes, new expectations, new people around, lot of responsibility. So Devaki was going through all that thought process in the mind. And she thought that her brother is taking care of her. He is protecting her, he is driving the chariot, and he is taking me to my future home. And within few moments, because of that Akashvani, the entire situation changed. The person who was having the reins in the hand of that chariot now had hairs in the hand, hairs of Devaki. And one hand was having reins, another hand was having whip. He had taken a sword to kill Devaki, his own sister. Can you imagine how much he was overcome by the fear? And it was a very difficult moment. What to do? She was pleading, please don't kill me. And what strength she had. She didn't have any strength to stop him killing. He was having so much strength. So many thousands of elephants strength he was having. What? Who can protect Devaki? So at that time, Vasudeva, he intervened. He told Kansa that please don't kill her. He started explaining with lot of logic and philosophy, and he explained that you are not going to be dying because of Devaki. Her eighth child is going to kill you. That child is the cause of your death, not Devaki. So why you are worried about her? And look at this. It is a marriage day. It's a happy moment. And on that day, you are trying to kill your own sister? What kind of person you are? What people will say? So in this way, Vasudev, he maintained that presence of mind. He showed that how one has to be composed, one has to be resilient in handling various situations. And how was that possible? It was possible because he had practiced it earlier. It is not that suddenly he became very strong and philosophical and convincing. He had practiced that. It is not that only this lifetime or for that moment he was showing that steadiness in the difficult situation, provoking situation. But it is explained that Vasudeva and Devaki had performed austerities, severe austerities in their previous births also, to get Krishna as their child. So they had that kind of spiritual mental strength to handle the various difficult situations. And Vasudeva then finally convinced him that what we will do, that when the child is born, we will give it to you and you can do whatever you want. So Vasudeva, he knew, he was very thoughtful person. He was not disturbed because of such a disturbing situation. At the time of marriage, nobody is so kind of alert of facing such kind of situation. Everyone is in a happy mood. But he understood that this is the root cause of the problem is this person is not Krishna conscious. That is the cause of problem. He is lacking Krishna consciousness. He has forgotten the basic understanding of life. At birth, death, old age, disease are going to happen to everyone. He is denying. And somewhere he is not able to understand that. But with his Krishna consciousness, with his strong Krishna consciousness, even he had that power to change the mind of Kansa. And then Kansa, he somehow other accepted that, okay, I will accept whatever you say. But then he put them in prison. So that where child is born, he will first go and kill the child. So in this way, Devaki and Vasudeva were, instead of going to their own house, first night of marriage, starting a very good happy life, they went into prison, dark prison in Mathura. Just see the situation, what within few moments things had changed, but still they did not kind of lose. They understood that whatever has happened, at least their life was saved. And then later on, we know that how one by one Kansa was killing children. It was very painful. Vasudeva, he was handing over every child and he was mercilessly killing these children. It was very painful for Vasudeva also, for Devaki also, to see the children again dying. But still, they maintained their Krishna consciousness. They knew that if Krishna has to die from the hand of this son, eighth son, then he is going to die. That cannot stop. Akashvani, whatever the voice from the sky had prophesied, that is not going to change. That is his destiny. It is going to, he has to see that destiny, he has to meet that destiny. So they were quite hopeful and they were still persevering and moving on. And then we know that how Krishna was born. Of course, before that, Balaram was born as a seventh child. And Lord Krishna, he asked his internal potency, Yoga Maya Shakti, to transfer him to Vrindavan, to the womb of Rohini. Vasudeva had many wives. One of the wives was Rohini. And she was under the care of Nanda Maharaj. And Balaram was transferred there. The seventh child was considered to be miscarriage. And when eighth child, Krishna was going to take birth, there in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata, they did not have son for many, many years. Nanda Maharaj was the king of Braj. And there was a great anxiety. If there is no son, then how our dynasty will go on? And they were praying, they were doing all tapasya and so many good things they were doing, serving all the brahmanas, sadhus, and finally, when Krishna was going to take birth, that time when Vasudeva and Devaki, they were in the prison, And Krishna, he entered into the heart of Vasudeva first. Krishna's birth is not an ordinary birth. He first entered into the heart of Vasudeva, and from there he entered into the heart of Devaki. And Devaki was looking very effulgent. She was very, very effulgent. And on that day when Krishna took birth, he took birth as four-arm baby Narayan. So this child had four arms. He was having very nice crown and chakra in his hand, and like a small baby Narayan. So Devaki, when she saw Lord in this way, she was little bit kind of disturbed. She was worried also that what kind of form is this? Usually the form children, they take birth, two hands, two legs. But he has four hands. So what will other people tell me? They will start mocking at me. See, what your child has four arms. So she had some kind of worry. But our Acharya has explained that he took this form just to ensure that the Supreme Lord has appeared. He is not an ordinary child, he is a Supreme Lord. And then he instructed them. He transformed himself into two-handed form and told that, just transfer me to Vrindavan in Gokul, where Yashoda Maya has given birth to a baby girl. You bring that girl here and put me under the care of Nanda Maharaj. That was the direct instruction of Lord Krishna to Vasudeva and Devaki. Now can you imagine, Vasudeva and Devaki had performed tapasya for many lifetimes. Three lifetimes it is explained. To get Krishna as their son. In the earlier ages, Prushni Garbha, Sutapa and Prushni, then Aditi, Vamandev, and then Aditi Kashyap and Vamandev. Then as Vasudeva Devaki and Lord Krishna. And Krishna is telling, transform me to Vrindavan. Immediately take me to Vrindavan. Not even one day Krishna is staying with them. But that is the kind of sacrifices. We can see that they had performed these kind of sacrifices and austerities for the benefit of everyone, so that others they get benefited. And in this way we can see that Krishna is transferred to Vrindavan in the same night. Somehow other, by the power of Yoga Maya, all the guards, those who are guarding that prison, they are now in deep sleep, samadhi. They cannot wake up now because the influence of Yoga Maya. Nidra Devi had completely taken over. I hope not, she doesn't come here. So when Krishna is born, Yoga Maya is very powerful. Krishna also, Yoga Maya also comes and she can influence. For materialists, it influences in the form of Yoga Nidra. I mean the Nidra, regular Nidra. But devotees become more awake. They become more alert to hear more deeper subjects. So in Vrindavan, in Gokul, it was a dead night. Vasudeva is entering with small baby Krishna in the basket. And while going on the way, Yamuna river had flooded. Huge Yamuna river, the bank of Yamuna had just flooded. And he could not, like he was trying to go, but somehow the Yamuna was also in so much ecstasy to see Lord Krishna, that look at this child, Param Satya Bhima, he has appeared. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who will not try to take his mercy? Who will not try to take his darshan? So the demigods, Yamuna Devi, Ananta Devi, they were all eager to see this form of Lord Krishna. The first glimpse, you can imagine the baby Krishna, he's so beautiful looking. Who wants to see first? So they were all eager. Yamuna Devi also was eager to touch the feet of Lord Krishna. And it was flooding more and more. And Ananta Devi also comes there. And finally Yamuna Devi just touches Lord Krishna's feet, and then Ananta Devi, they give path to Vasudeva so that he can safely go to Vrindavan. And he goes there to Vrindavan in that night, midnight. We celebrate Janmashtami in the midnight, and so with so much of kirtan, prasad distribution, and so much happiness. But the first day of Krishna's birth was a different time actually. And there Yashoda had given birth to a child, baby child, girl. And because of that kind of pain, she was in kind of unconscious state. And Vasudev is like, he entered there, he exchanged the children, he put Krishna there, took the baby girl and returned back. Now Rachar is explained that it is that there was one baby girl and there was one baby boy. Because original Krishna does not leave Vrindavan. And that boy entered into that boy, and he took baby girl and came back to Mathura. And he came back same night and again back to prison, and a baby child, that girl, started crying. And because of that cry, all those guards, those who were sleeping, deep sleeping, now they became awake. They awoke now. They understood that something has happened. We are not alert. This birth has taken place, so let us go and inform Kansa. So they informed Kansa, and Kansa came riding there on his horse. And he saw that it is a girl. Devaki was pleading that please don't kill this girl. She is a girl. You are supposed to die from a boy. But she is a girl. Don't kill her. But Kansa was not ready to hear anything. She thought that maybe this girl will kill me. And he was trying to kill her by dashing on that stone. But what happened? She slipped from his hand. And he went into the sky and he assumed the 8-arm form, Durga Devi. For him it was Durga Devi. And told Kansa that, oh, how fool you are. You are trying to kill me. The child who was you are supposed to die from,
he has already taken birth. He is already safe somewhere. And she disappears in the sky. Now, Kansa's fear has increased manifold. Because the mission is unsuccessful. He was trying to kill all the children, but somehow the eighth child has escaped. So he becomes all the more disturbed. He is not able to understand what to do. Our Acharya has explained that he is so much Krishna conscious. Even he is not able to sleep. We are sleeping while hearing Krishna Katha. But he was not able to sleep because of the fear of Krishna. He was everywhere, he is seeing Krishna. Whatever he sees, he thinks that child is coming to kill me with his disc in his hand. So he is not able to sleep. That is the power of absorption. Our Acharya explains, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that if one is absorbed in thinking of Krishna, there are two ways of thinking Krishna. One is favorable way of thinking Krishna and one is unfavorable way of thinking Krishna. And it is explained that those who are unfavorably thinking of Krishna because of envy, jealousy, that is more intense than favorably thinking of Krishna. Because there is a great degree of absorption in the jealousy and envy. We are always sometimes envious of somebody, and instead of thinking Krishna, we are thinking of that person. This person is bad. Because of him, all problems are happening. Something goes wrong, this person, yes. He is always the cause of problem. Maybe he is causing all these problems of my life. He may not be the cause of problem. But our mind keeps telling that somehow there, yeah, this, ultimately he may be the culprit somewhere. Right? It goes round and round and to that person. So, Kansa was always in that mood. He was thinking that Krishna is the cause of my problem. And because of that, he was so much absorbed thinking of Krishna that he is always thinking of Krishna. So, he was not able to kind of peacefully sleep. He was always thinking of Krishna because of envy. And then he was planning that something should be done, that this boy should be killed. He has taken birth, he has escaped now. Now what to do? So his ministers came, all these other similar minded demonic ministers came, and they started giving various advice. Okay, these children has escaped, let us kill all the children in this area. So that whoever the child may be, that child will die. We can imagine the amount of fear he was reposing in everyone. First he thought that Devaki is the cause of fear. She tried to kill him. She was not the cause of his fear. The seven, eight children, they were killed. I mean the seven, six children were killed. But still, he was fearful. So now he wanted to kill all the children in that vicinity, thinking that because of that, my fear will subside. But it was not happening like that. And he was killing. I mean, he had appointed his people. And especially, he had some kind of alliance with Utana. Utana was a very dangerous lady. She was a demoness. She had mystic power. She was able to kill children, take various forms, fly from one place to another. She was called as Kheshri. And she was very expert in killing children. So Krishna called her. Sorry, Kansa called her. That, please come. He had kind of communication with. She was somewhere in the cave. And she heard Kansa is calling him, calling her. And she came in the palace of Kansa. And she asked, what is the order? And Kansa, he told that there is one child. That child has to be killed. She just laughed. What? Kansa, you are telling me to kill one child? I am expert in killing hundreds and thousands of children at a time. What is this one child you are telling me? It is below my dignity to kill one child. Give me some big project. Not a small project. So, he told that it is not like that. It's not a small, ordinary child. It's a very special child. And okay, you kill him and you kill all other children in that area also. So she was a little bit pacified. Yeah, now I have something to tell that I'm doing some big project. So she, and she took up that project, and she, her focus was to find that child, Krishna, and kill him. And of course she was killing other children also. Suddenly some other newborn children were disappearing, and all the Vrajavasis, and they were in so much anxiety. What has happened? Some kind of ghost or some pishach or something is there in the moving around, that our children are disappearing somehow or other. What to do? So they were in great anxiety. Brajavasis, they were in great anxiety. And Putana, she was flying here, there, and trying to search Krishna. And she saw baby Krishna in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. He was a very small child, baby Krishna. And as she saw Krishna, she had some kind of fear in her heart, because she understood that this child doesn't seem to be an ordinary child. He seems to be a very powerful person. He can destroy the entire universe. He seems to be so powerful. So some fear was struck in her heart. But still, she thought that I have to do my duty. I have been told that I should kill him. So I will try and kill him. So she thought that she cannot go in this her gruesome form. She changed the form. She became a very beautiful lady. She took a lotus flower in her hand and very nicely smiling and moving around in Vrindavan, Gokul. And everyone was thinking, who is this lady? Beautiful lady has come. She seems to be goddess of fortune. Devi has come from other planet or something. Because they had not, like, they were like simple village people and they had not expected somebody would come in like this, you know, so beautiful sudden. So they were all offering respect and welcoming, escorting her, and she was very nicely glancing at everyone and moving around, going around. And she was in kind of, where is the house, where is this newborn child? And she was slowly entered. And then we know what happens. I think time is getting over. So in this way, I will quickly finish things. In this way, she tried to kill Krishna. But what she had done, she had smeared poison on her breast. And she thought that this baby child, she will try to nurse him and he is so innocent, he doesn't know whether it is his mother or some other lady. He will drink the milk and he will die. But Krishna knew everything. He knew that this lady has some kind of motherly affection. She wants to offer me some. And our acharyas explained that in her previous life, this Putana was sister of Bali Maharaj. It is explained, Ratnamala. Brahma Vyavarta Puran, it is explained, she was the sister of Bali Maharaj. Garga Sanhita explains that she was the daughter of Bali Maharaj, Ratnamala. But whatever may be the case, when she had seen Vamandev had come to take land, three steps land, and Bali Maharaj was offering that. And Bali Maharaj, when he offered everything, and he was asking, where is the third step? Where should I put the third step? Bali Maharaj offered his own head. And at that time, this Ratnamala, she thought that this boy, Vamandev, is so nice boy. She had that motherly affection. But because he has come as an enemy, she could not kind of openly express that. So then, next life, she was given the chance to become Putana and fulfill that desire. And then Krishna, we know that what happens to Putana then. He not only sucks all the poison, the negativity from that Putana, but he purifies. Completely she becomes purified. Of course, she assumes a very ghastly form, 12 miles long. She was lying there, and when Nanda Maharaj was returning back, she was observing, what is this? What has happened in my absence in Vrindavan? So, our acharyas explained that this Putana demon represents pseudo guru, false guru. Means when you have a pure guru, one who is giving pure Krishna consciousness, who is asking you to serve Krishna, perform bhakti, pure bhakti, you will become servant of the servant, you will achieve the spiritual world, then our mind can get diverted to a wrong guru, a false guru, who will also tell the same things that yes, you also do bhakti, you also worship Krishna, but what happens? You become Krishna, or you will merge in Krishna. That is like milk touched by a poisonous serpent. It is a milk with poison. That poison will kill our consciousness, our proclivity, our propensity to serve Krishna will go away. We want to become the controller, the master. We want to control everyone. We want to rule everyone. So that tendency develops because of wrong philosophies. So therefore our acharyas explain that one has to be extremely careful of such kind of anartha which may arise in our heart. And second explanation is putana also represents our own mind. Our own mind which may dictate us to do wrong things. It may create many poisonous thoughts within our mind. And instead of focusing on the good things of people, we may focus on the wrong things, the wrong side of the purse. That is because the mind is looking for the negativity, the poison in others. Not looking at the good side of the purse. And wherever we focus, that we get. So therefore it is very, very important that how we have to regulate our mind. We have to see the good in others, good in Guru, good in Krishna, good in the entire society, good in the entire Krishna conscious movement. So that our mind becomes purified. And Krishna becomes pleased, Guru and Krishna become pleased to give us the pure devotional service. So, I'll stop here because it's already over time. Maybe sometime later we'll continue this. There are various demons Krishna killed. After Putana, Krishna killed Shakatasur, who came in the form of a cart. Then he killed Trunavarta, who came in the form of a whirlwind. Then he delivered Manigriv and Nalakuvar. We hear the pastime of Damodarashtakam. These two sons of Kuvera were delivered. Then after that, Nanda Maharaj and Upananda thought that there is a lot of disturbance here in Gokul Mahavan. Let us shift to Vrindavan. So all of them, they went to Vrindavan. And wherever Krishna went, asuras followed. And Krishna was killing them one by one as a sport. So many wickets Krishna took. He was killing all these demons. They were through, like a sport for Krishna. So let us hope something happens today. And Krishna becomes victorious. Krishna is always victorious, but we are greatly hoping something good happens. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Prabhupada ki jai, Prasrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.